should go first?
I will.
Okay. All right, so it's transportation.
The party started. Okay, so we had transportation, and at first I thought it was, I focused on buses and everything, but Lori was kind enough to refocus me that there are other things regarding transportation besides buses. So what are specific goals related to the category for the next 20 years? This is something really important, enlarging the CHO facility. They want to call it CHO 2.2. Because our problem is where our main terminal is, it is too far from the it's too close to the runway. And there's no way to, we have a beautiful runway that works perfectly, but the building itself is too close. So they're looking at getting dollars to move the building, build a new building in the parking lot to allow more space to allow additional planes to be able to come in. We feel that with the wedding destinations, that's 5% of the visitors come by air. We'd like to increase that to 15% or more. But destination weddings are huge here. We make a ton of money on destination weddings. So that would help that. Along with that, ground transportation, hop on, hop off, microcab to get people from point A to B. This facility would actually increase tourism and business by having more people fly into here. We've got Vivanna Station. We've got the Biotech Center. UVA, I mean, there's a lot of businesses that will be increasing that will want to come here, and the best way to come here is via plane. Or if we can get the railroad to have a stop at like Vivanna Station, huge. That would be huge because then that would continue into Washington. What are specific action items that need to be taken? Get more money. And infrastructure bills, perhaps. What partners are needed to make this reality? Federal, state, Seaville, UVA, county, grants, and Amtrak. What funding might be necessary? All the above that I just mentioned. What would be the impact of investing in this, positive or negative? Bill's capacity, Bill's accessibility, and continues our growth, which increases our tourism, because we have more and more people coming here, and if they can get from place A to B, that's going to be huge. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Could you guys also talk about transportation as it pertains to employees, staff, and other workforce?
We did not.
We did. Good point.
That's a good point. I can put that down if you want. Mr. Vice Chair.
Were there any negatives that came up when y'all discussed transportation? Or does everything seem like a positive?
Well, it was all positive. It's just that we have a lack of transportation for employees, for workers, and things like that. We had a real nice, robust taxi system, and then that went by the wayside. And Uber, I found out from Roy that Uber drivers are now making more money delivering food rather than passengers, so that's not going well. But microcab is something could be positive. So,
do you think that microcab would expand out to where the wineries are?
That were the county has plans or working with CAT. I think they're going to be enlarging microcab. It's been very, very successful. We've had, I think it was, where's Emily? Oh, over 8,000 since October.
Yeah, and that number was from January, so it's probably higher.
So it's even higher than that. So it's been very, very successful, MicroCat has. And they have an app on there, tells you when it's coming, you can order it, and it's very low cost. So it's in between Uber and Jaunt as far as cost. But right now it's free, but we'll be... we're looking to expand. CAT's looking to expand.
Is it predetermined routes or is it?
Well, it's within.
It's fully on demand, but there's service areas. So yeah. Right now it's 29 North and Pantop.
And Pantop. And in between.
And you can go between those two as well. So if you lived in Woodbrook neighborhood, you could go to Sentara Hospital.
Right.
Using the service.
But if you want to go, let's say, from the airport and you want to go to UVA Hospital, then they would, the MicroCat would take you to the nearest fixed route to take you then to
so UVA. Transfer.
Yeah, transfer.
Go.
But once again, it's all evolving.
Cool.
And I'll put down the employee transportation for you.
All right, what other conference centers?
All right, I guess I'll speak to this. I think what we, the first item, one of the specific I didn't write this, but we need to call the question. Are we going to do this or not? We've been talking about it for a while. So I think we need to determine if we want to address it or be relegated to, as Courtney shared with us, just a leisure market and be happy with it. We could be fine as the best leisure market in the East Coast. Just let conferences go. But I think we need to kind of maybe wrestle with that a little bit more. We also discussed that nobody else is really going to carry the flag for this other than this group, even though our control is pretty limited. So I think at the end of the day, we have some responsibility for the idea, not the actual implementation of it, but specific actions, political support to fund it, and public support to kind of support the political support. Because we were talking, you know, these aren't privately done, it's going to be publicly done, which means city, county, maybe state, maybe UVA, but those two are pretty unlikely. So likely, you know, city and county, some combination of other municipalities. And maybe a partnership with a private hotelier to be adjacent to the conference facility, which is pretty typical. And that piece can easily be privately funded, but the actual conference facility is, I couldn't think of any examples that are privately funded. Many are, you know, done by localities and then with the partnership. Funding, lots of money. Specifically, it needs to be a dedicated source of funding. Obviously, it can't be a one-time thing because we have lots that have to be paid back, so 30-year, 20-30-year payback. So some kind of dedicated tax and or district. We talked about the Tourist Improvement District as a possibility. And we also talked about the challenge that the city and county have now elevated their TOT taxes to the high end of the market, so there's not a lot of room to move them up for a purpose like this. Many communities, when they decide to do this, will add 2% dedicated to cover the debt service of the convention facility and retire the debt that way. In theory, we could still do that, but it's going to be harder because then the conference people are going to be like, oh, you're at 13% TOT? Thank you. So anyway, that's just a kind of another challenge. And then we could kind of discuss what the impact would be if we did it. This type of facility would benefit all the other goals of the Bureau, particularly the midweek piece, but lots of other overlap there with other activities just were in place. And on the negative side, obviously it's increased competition for the existing facilities that are here now, and to some extent maybe some of the hotels. And for folks that don't like to grow a destination, you know, it's obviously more people and whatnot. So if things stay the same, they would not see it as a positive scenario.
Would there be risk that it wouldn't get enough generate enough business?
I mean, I'd say that probably is a risk with anything like this. The last two studies that were done, off the top of my head, said this is a home run. Why you haven't done it yet? So they didn't see any risk from that perspective. But any new facility has to be managed properly, taken care of.
Will be going big to do it.
Yeah.
But you're right. You do run the risk that the business world has changed post COVID.
Yeah.
So maybe conferences might not be as attractive as they were 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I think maybe there's an action item would be to revisit or update the current study as part of the new plan, mm-hmm. and see what that yields, and then push that message or not. It's
And that might be something for us too, to, we did some trends research. I'm not sure that we dug as much into that. I've also heard conversely that folks are just so desirous of connection. And so the idea of convening is growing. So it'd be, that might be something that we do in our final step, is just look at that more closely to see which ways it really trending.
Yeah. Bottom line, I think, is we toyed with saying we should just forget this, we're spinning on wheels, but nobody else is going to represent this issue even at all, probably, in this community. So we probably have an obligation to at least investigate it every so often and share those findings and talk to people about it, realizing that we can't actually make it happen unless there's...
The upside is too substantial for not.
I have a question. Chris, I have a question for you and also Russ. Do we have some capacity for conferences? Because I mean, I know we mentioned about a 1,000 person, you know, conference, but I worry that, and I don't know, and that's why I'd like to update it. Or is that a direction the country's going, we're going? Is that something that we should build something that big? Do we have capacity now to have conferences and then to say, okay, yeah, we have conferences, it's growing, we need to do this?
I think our current capacity is pretty limited to a small group. Courtney can speak to that.
Yeah. I mean, we're able to host maybe up to almost 500 people in a keynote space. Not quite, maybe with the Virginia Guest House, we'll get there. What we're finding, I was mentioning a couple of the different shows that we attend, and our shows are focused on trying to get meetings and groups here that fit, and also are willing to pay the rates that we have. And those, Virginia Society of Association Executives, VSAE, a lot of associations would like to meet in Charlottesville, Albemarle, because we're centrally located,
right,
and they're requiring at least 1,000 people keynote. So the 1,000 people came from mostly Teresa and my observations in talking to folks who are looking to bring groups here, and they've been anxiously awaiting the opportunity. So I think the pipeline and the real, like, we wouldn't build the 20,000 person.
Right.
Like, this is a very, to me, a very manageable size. But I think a couple of the things that came up in that conversation are, like, could a citywide handle this? So a citywide is when you'd have multiple venues and multiple hotels. If we had a big enough space that was centrally located among different hotels, it's possible to do that kind of a model.
Right.
But you wouldn't just want to plop a 1,000-person meeting space in the middle of nowhere and not have the facilities around it to make it attractive.
And the new UVA conference center, that holds...
I wouldn't even say it's a conference center.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Our group earlier, ours, I would say, is a cabin with a bit bigger, a very nice hotel with bigger meeting facilities than the Cavalry has.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I can share another example. The association that I'm part of is an economic developer, the Virginia Economic Developer Association. We were just in Charlottesville at the Omni, and we had the most attendance at the spring conference, which was 310 people. And so we took over the whole Omni. And the Omni would not give us all 200 rooms. They only gave us like 110 or something, because they hold rooms. Every hotel does this for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't give us. So like the day that the conference went live, the hotel block was sold out. So we had multiple hotels. We had people at four hotels and Airbnbs and little stay places for a 310-person conference.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to be here.
Right.
They want to come back every 3 years, but
right,
they're now looking at probably not coming back
because it's spread out.
Yeah. And transportation is related to this too. Like the logistics of that and the cost of that make things even more complicated.
Yeah. Okay.
Courtney, I wonder, can you send out to the board that last study that was done in 2018?
You bet.
19, whatever year that was.
Yep.
Just I was part of that committee and I don't remember what exactly was all
in
there.
Do you have a partner actually build a hotel that had a conference center for 1,000 people?
Yeah, but you'd have to support it financially.
Yeah, yeah, right.
The public side.
Yeah, sure.
Hotel Roanoke's a good example. City of Roanoke mm-hmm. owns the conference center. Virginia Tech maybe owns the hotel. Or
yeah.
The Virginia Tech Foundation.
Yes. Yeah. And they own and operate the hotel. The conference center piece is owned by the city and it's funded by the city.
Right.
It's all operated as if you're in the same place. So yeah. There's an operating group.
It seems like something like that could make it more doable. Seems like you still have the same problem that you ran in with that last conference you were talking about, where people have to spread out, that there wouldn't be a nucleus of hotels that could accommodate a 1,000-person convention.
Well, that's the issue that Richmond's facing right now, and why they're really needing that anchor hotel that's attached to the convention center. They don't have it,
mm-hmm.
And it's that problem, and it's they're missing conferences because they don't have the anchor hotel. All right. Well, I just want to have a larger group conversation in the context of all of this. So let's hear from the menu business.
I've got the notes on that one. So specific goals. Our first was pretty easy. It's increase measurable midweek occupancy, and you can measure that through the STR lodging reports. The second was determine new or underserved markets to increase specifically. So are we missing association business? Are we missing government business? What lines of business are we missing on, and try and serve those better as a goal? And then our third one was economic development growth of businesses that can actually bring tourism and bring travel. So not necessarily small business, but businesses that either bring travel or have a substantial amount of people that would come to work here and or travel here. Specific action items, we said a market study to determine who our target audiences are or can be. And then the second one we actually had was update the feasibility for the conference center. So to Chris's point. But then we put on there with a funding strategy, though, because I think it's important we note that we've heard, you know, we've all had done these studies and we say we need it and we'll bring it to the county or city, and then, but if we don't come with the, this is how you can accomplish it from a funding standpoint, it'll just fall on deaf ears and continue to be the same dialogue. So we wrote, you know, with a funding strategy. We put, man, I write like I'm in second grade. increased intentional marketing and programming aimed at midweek. Like, I can confidently say that out of our marketing spend at the CVB, I don't know the exact dollars in direct that we're aiming right at midweek versus more telling the wine story, telling...
Yeah.
That we're an outdoor destination. Are we really honing in intentionally and specifically at midweek opportunities, right? So we wrote that down, and then we wrote down creation of incentives. Now, where you get the money for that, I guess, is coming up.
What would an incentive example be?
So creating reasons. Or creating incentives for people to come, right? Whether it's transient retirees, like what's the incentive? Is there one? Can you do something like that? Or is it incentives for groups, right? To choose our destination, right? Like some groups pick their destinations because the local marketing organization might pay part of their fee or whatever elements of their expenses.
That would be great. Service.
And it can offset, like, the CVB giving money can offset the need for transportation or higher hotel rates and things like that. So if you have the cash to put towards that meeting, then it makes it more attractive.
Yeah. Like, Richmond Region Tourism I think they had to, they incentivized the women's D1 tournament that they just hosted at the their new sports complex. I think there's an NCAA fee or something to host those kinds of events in your cities, and they paid it out of their tourism fund. I think it was $200,000 something. But the economic impact of that 5-day event was millions to the city. So those kinds of incentives. What partners are needed to make this a reality? It's really everybody, but hotels, CVB, government, and then we broke all tourism partners. Because midweek, you really got to tell your story about why you should come here, and so it takes everybody to do that. Funding. I mean, we got into the buckets, like marketing money, whether it's even a reallocation, incentive dollars, feasibility and market study money, the convention center money to build it, right, and then grant money. The impact we had positive would be, naturally there's spinoffs of small business growth in localities, tax base growth, because you're going to attract more people to live here and pay taxes, but you're also going to attract more travelers that pay taxes. Job growth. We wrote down vibrance and pride in where you live, just naturally, as this grows and you tell your story better. There's just more vibrance to the city, especially in the middle of the week. Coming downtown on a Tuesday sometimes can feel like a ghost town. And then negatives, Chris kind of talked on it, traffic, infrastructure concerns, public safety. Could it drive the cost of living? Possibly. That's it.
This is really good. So thinking about all of that, thinking about how the CVB, again, can't control all of this, are these things that we should be making priorities? And as we think about plan, as we think about where we're headed,
Yeah, I think they should be somewhere, but I don't think they should be 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
I mean, yeah. The storytelling piece,
sure.
All the
yeah.
stuff we're already. No,
yep.
That's
mm-hmm.
what. Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to get rid of wine and culinary and craft and all that stuff. We know that the promotion piece, that they've got that in hand, and how we can build in that there's more funding, the better stories, or more punch that they can make. But these bigger things, do we spin our wheels on them?
We were bringing to the board the things that we really need board support to
yeah.
do. Because we can, I know we have your support to promote and do our normal activities. But if we're going to get outside of the space of what's normal for us, we need board support to do that.
And again, we kept hearing this, which is why we felt we needed to talk about it, because we didn't want to just ignore these big things that keep getting talked about.
And we need to discern the difference between plans and missions.
I think midweek business is the thing on the list that resonates with me. The conference center could be the outcome of midweek business, but it could be something else. And so I think the localities and the regional body have transportation as sort of a priority and sort of baked into their infrastructure already, their administrative infrastructure, not their world. So that just seems like an area that this body shouldn't really have to focus on. And then again, conference center feels like an end. Midweek seems like the opportunity. And again, a conference center might be part of that solve, but it's also broad enough that it can accommodate whatever could happen over the next 20 years.
I would agree with that. I think with some intentionality, midweek business, and with some funding, depending on how we can accomplish that. And again, I bring it up again, the TID is a potential funding source specifically aimed at that, because that's where the hotels could use the most help and would be willing to probably sign off on funding, whether it's incentive plans, additional marketing directed and, you know, those kinds of things. So to your point, without maybe a convention center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the spinoff of that, just being hotel specific, is really great for the rest of restaurants, small business, mm-hmm. tax base, all those other things that we mm-hmm. talked about, right? So,
just as a note, like there aren't a lot of there are not a lot of hotels that have the space for midweek, so we really need to get creative on how we approach midweek, and I think that's what we're all leading towards. If we don't go the convention center way, what does it look like to bring midweek business here without a convention center or without significant economic development, like to go after big business? I'm not sure what that magic bullet is outside of those things, because we do talk a lot to the hotels and try and bring them a lot of RFPs, and we've tried different markets, and we don't see a lot of stickiness with them. So just to, not for you all to do anything, but for you to be aware that that's part of the conversation of, like, the ecosystem and the infrastructure that we have here is limiting, especially with the midweek price of things. And maybe the incentives helps with the price, but I don't think that there's going to be a magic bullet that doesn't take some kind of investment in some way to solve. I don't know that we're able to solve it just the way that things are at the moment. But that's what the market study would be for, right?
Right.
Just to clarify, when you're saying midweek business, you're meaning that 100% commercial? Or are you talking about sometimes midweek business with maybe leisure?
It may be leisure, but I mean, the folks that you're trying to get with leisure, I mean, who is traveling midweek for leisure outside of, like, families in the summertime who are largely going to the beach and not necessarily to a destination like ours? That doesn't mean people don't come here. They do, but not necessarily. We can't compete with Virginia Beach for summer, right? And
but
then
we're also not, just
large.
To play devil's advocate, we're not really marketing to that either, right? Like, how many stories are we putting out there to come here instead of going to the beach or do this or, you know what I mean? Like,
city
pool. Yeah.
That's a stretch. No, you guys are right. Bye-bye. I think you're right. I mean, I think there are things that we can do to mitigate it some. You know, there's a different story we can tell for summertime. But how compelling is that story and how much money is that story going to take to really make the difference? We don't know yet, right?
So you are talking that 98% commercial.
Commercial is a whole lot easier to attract when you have some assets than it is to try and convince, like, somebody's like, well, why don't you just have weddings on Tuesdays when the rates are cheap? And I was like, you convince couples to get married on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like,
play hook and come to Chicago.
Maybe that should be our new thing, right? But it's hard to you want to assume some kinds of behavior, and then what behavior can we change? So, and then the senior market, like the folks who are retired, they can come anytime. So
everybody's working
know.
Remote now. Just do your remote from the hotel, and then go out and show.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah.
So how are we doing on time?
We are very time conscious today.
We have
9 minutes.
That's why. Yeah, we got 9 minutes. So.
Yeah. So any. Final other thoughts on, yeah.
I was just going to say, I think to some of the comments, like, I was trying to think about these three big picture categories in the way that we were talking earlier about, like, are we leading, are we partnering, or are we supporting, right? Like, I think the idea here is that, like, we probably have to leave the conference center conversation because otherwise no one's going to do it. The midweek business feels like more of a partnership thing, mm-hmm. and the transportation is probably more support, right? Like, is that generally how you're, okay. I just feel like, if the question is, are we leaving these things on a list of things we care about and talk about, the answer seems to be yes, but to varying degrees mm-hmm. in different ways, right?
Yeah. So if we brought those three roles in the way you just described them in a master plan for June, when we're anticipating the way past this, is there any other conversation that this group needs to have before you pass it on those three? Like, we lead the research of, well, I mean, I guess I would say that what I'm hearing, and maybe everyone's hearing things differently, so I'll repeat what I'm hearing. We would lead the study of what we could do to address midweek business. We would rely on that study to figure out whether or not we should lead a convention center conversation. And then we will continue to support infrastructure and my voice. We're the voice for the visitor and the industry workforce in the transportation conversation.
Good.
Yeah? Okay. We got to write this, so making sure we're on the same page.
I think so.
Sounds good.
Cool.
If we're adopting the plan in June, how much lead time are we expecting to have the draft?
Yeah, I think we need to have a conversation about that. But you will not get this plan a week before the meeting and be expected to pass it.
When's the June meeting?
The fourth Monday in June. Let me see.
We may have a problem.
I can hear that problem.
Yeah.
The 24th.
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be in Europe. Oh, you should be here? Okay.
I guess my only clarifying question, like, I think that the conference center and the midweek business probably should be separated into two different things, right? Like, cause to some degree, we want to drive midweek business independent of the conference center, and we probably need to be the voice in support of a conference center independent of driving midweek business, right? Like, the way that you described it, I think, also makes sense in the sense that, like, trying to figure out how to drive midweek business can support the idea of a conference center, but I think, like, the conference center is going to take a really long time, a lot of money, and things that we don't want to, like, leave behind the midweek business efforts in the meantime, right? Like, I do agree with those being separate tracks to some degree. Were you saying?
Yes. So we'd study midweek business. And if an outcome from that study was we should move forward or study a convention center, then that would take on a life of its own. And then everything else that's actionable in that study that was about midweek business, we'd move that forward. That being the expensive piece, the anticipated expensive piece of that study.
But if the midweek doesn't suggest the convention center is needed, we would be done?
Yep.
For now.
I mean, hopefully, yeah.
Things change.
Yeah,
things change.
But for this, for the purpose of writing this plan, yeah.
Okay. All right. Do we have what we need? Do you have what you need?
This has been really, really helpful. Thank you. I'm glad we had so much time. So I appreciate it.
Okay. Next, public comment. Anyone from the public wishing to say anything? Okay. Board announcements. Any announcements from the board? Anything?
Going on?
Yes.
The Great Asian Festival celebration that we're doing. It's going to be the first Friday. I'm reading this upside down. I can't read this upside down. We're doing first Fridays on Friday, May 3rd, from 5 to 9. There's going to be a lot of different artists, Asian artists, and wine enthusiasts and so forth. Then Fridays after 5 on May 10th at the Tin Pavilion, and there will be various guests and things like that. So this will be the third one that we've done. The first one was a small one. Second one grew a little bit bigger. Now we're going to be downtown.
And that will be here at the Tin?
Both? The bridge will have the arts, and then the Tin Pavilion is where they're going to be playing.
Okay, perfect. Anything else? Any other board of directors, any other comments? Okay, we stand adjourned until June 24th. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.